to be proper, what is necessary. You know, what he's saying is, you know, what he wants, what he needs, what's important. I could just command you what I want here. He knows that because this man is an obedient servant of Christ. Yet for love's sake, I'd rather beseech you. I'd rather just say, please, and ask. Give you the option to say no, even though I could just say, look, you need to do this. This is what you need to do. But he trusted in the love and righteousness of Philemon to not give him orders. He had a lot of respect for him. They didn't order him around. I beseech you, being such a one, you know, if you're a Christian, and the Apostle Paul says, would you please? That's powerful enough for you. You don't need him to come and give you an order. And Paul knows this. Verse 10. I beseech thee, for my son Onesimus, whom I have begotten in my bonds, which in times past was to thee unprofitable, but now profitable to thee and to me, whom I have sent again, thou therefore receive him that is my own bowels, whom I would have retained with me, that in thy stead he might have ministered unto me in the bonds of the gospel. But without thy mind would I do nothing, that thy benefit should not be, as it were, of necessity, but willingly. For perhaps he therefore departed for a season, that thou shouldest receive him forever, not now as a servant, but above a servant. And that word is slave. A brother beloved, especially to me. But how much more unto thee, both in the flesh and in the Lord? Question. If thou count me therefore a partner, receive him as myself. Let's go back. So now we see what he's writing to Philemon about. He's saying, I want to talk to you about Onesimus. Onesimus was a former slave who belonged to Philemon, who obviously had been a problem for Philemon, but subsequent to his escape, had become a Christian, and whom Paul was very fond of. And the reason he wrote, he was so fond of Onesimus, and also of Philemon, that he wrote this letter, especially to, this is the only letter of this character in the New Testament, you know, where Paul writes on the behalf of one person for another. And he calls him his son, you know. He has begotten him in his bonds. Out of the bondage of Christ, he has had a son. Now, the word begotten is what a father does to sons. Women give birth, men begot. I guess the closest thing in English, I have sired. You know? Or I have fathered. That'd be a good one. I have fathered him in my bonds. In times past, he was to you unprofitable. I mean, you know, he was perhaps a wicked servant, you know? Or I don't know exactly what, but he was not a profitable servant, a profitable slave. And now profitable. Eucrestos, useful to you and to me. He would be profitable to you, but he's with me right now. But he's changed. And now he profits us all. I think he's saying, he's profitable to you. In the sense of, if you look here, he says, you know, I would have kept him with me, he says in verse 13, that he could have ministered to me in your place. I mean, he belonged to you. So I would have him minister to me in your place in the bonds of the gospel. But again, he says, I have sent him to you. Receive him that is my own bowels. You know, he is my own flesh and blood. He's, you know, that's what he's saying. He's, the bowels were the most inner parts of, you know, of a person. It was supposed to be, you know how like you feel butterflies in your stomach? There's feelings there in your bowels. And it's a place of sensitive feeling. At least linguistically. I know medically, oh, bowels, blah, blah, blah. Well, we applied the word bowels to our bowels, right? I'm trying to find another nice word for it. You know, to our intestines and so on. We think of that as our bowels when we have bowel movements. But we also feel things in the pit of our stomach, which have to do with emotions and not digestion. Because you know, because it comes from the, it's psychosomatic. It's from the mind and the spirit and the heart, and you feel it in your bowels. And so this was a person who he had intense feelings for. You know, within himself, in his bowel, he is my own bowels. Like my own child, you know, he felt that much sort of care over him. And he would have kept him, that he could serve him in the place of Philemon. He was Philemon's former slave, escaped probably. He may have been a slave of Philemon before Philemon was a Christian, you know. I mean, it's the whole thing, I don't know the whole situation. Now, a lot of people want to judge the tacit approval of slavery in the Bible, but, you know, the slavery of the Bible was a lot different than the slavery of the American history, for one. And for two, the Bible has not set rules of, you know, in Christ there is neither bond nor free, neither male nor female. You know, it's all negated. I mean, Paul was submitting himself to unjust jail. So submission to slavery is just along the same lines. In the Old Testament, the scriptures gave all kinds of laws concerning slavery. There was even a fugitive slave law in the Old Testament, which I hope I can remember where it was since I mentioned it. But Deuteronomy 23:15, I wrote it down in the back of my Bible. Deuteronomy 23 verse 15 says, "Thou shalt not deliver to his master the servant which is escaped from his master to you. He shall dwell with you, even among you in that place." You were not allowed, any slave that escaped from his master was not to be returned. Because slavery was a temporary institution, meaning they weren't allowed to enslave people from generation to generation. Or according to race like that, they were to be set free after a certain number of years. And so a slave would look and say, well, it's 7 years of slavery. Not too bad. You know, I mean, let's say you were in debt, right? And in the old days, they didn't have bankruptcy courts and all that, so they had debt. And then you would sell yourself into slavery for 7 years. You would work for someone. All you would get was your food and board, and you would be his servant. But then after that, you had an expectation of getting free. But if during the course of your slavery, the man started beating you and treating you unjustly, and you fled, the Bible had a law that says you can't return that person. If they flee the slavery, you're not supposed to return them. There's no fugitive slave hunting down in the, according to the Bible. If they, you know, it's because, why would a slave flee? Because he had no hope.